Hey, best friend. Welcome to the Melanated Kimmy podcast. I am your host and new best friend, Kimmy J, and today's episode is entitled As Seen on TV. Well, first off, Happy New Year. How was your 1 month free trial, aka January? It is now the beginning of February. Happy Black History Month. And we are finally back to podcasting, and I'm excited to be here with you. And I want this podcast to be focused on the simple pleasures, which for me, streaming my shows, like that has been a form of recreation that literally brings me the most joy. And I have so much TV that I need to catch up, that I've needed to catch up on, and so many shows that I've wanted to tell you all about. So I'm going to do it in this episode. First off is Boba Fett. Okay, let's start right off with the nerdy stuff. I don't play around, whatever. So Boba Fett is airing on Disney Plus. If you are not watching it, I was going to say if you're not watching it, you should. But I'm not going to give recommendations. I'm just going to tell you what brings me joy, okay? Like, I'm not going to force my shows on you, bestie. Like, I just want to talk about it. Like, that is the one thing that is... There's so much... I was going to say that's the one thing missing from my life, but there's so much missing, like no cap. So, but one thing that is missing is to just sit and watch shows with people, like to sit down, share a tub of popcorn and watch a show with someone. Like, I love a good movie buddy. I love a good show buddy. Like, even as a child, I watch shows with people. You know, like when you're a kid, you don't get to watch evening TV with someone. I had a buddy that I would call just to watch Friends with. We would watch Friends over the phone. Like, it was a tradition. Like, when I was in elementary school. But anyways, enough about my history. But let's get into Boba Fett. So this show, it's still producing new episodes currently. So we're on episode 6. It just aired last Wednesday. And I will say chapters 5 and 6 have given so much life. The 1 through 4 was a lot of groundwork, I will say. Like, Boba Fett was not really given what it's supposed to give. You know what I mean? And like, here's the thing. So if you are a Star Wars fan, you know that Boba Fett is the son of Jango Fett, which he's really not even a quote unquote son in the way that a father fathers a child. He is Jango Fett's clone. And Jango Fett was like the original Mandalorian. And I say that, but when I say Mandalorian, don't think of, you know, the Mandalorian that has Grogu. He wasn't the Mandalorian in that sense. He was a straight up bounty hunter, baddie. Like, he was aligned with villains. Like, he was a villain. He was in that class. He was a bounty hunter, just like our Mandalorian, like, Din Djarin. So, you know, there were similarities, but Jango Fett and Boba Fett are in a class all their own. So when Boba Fett popped up and was like the surprise reveal in the second season of The Mandalorian, like, minds were blown. Like, literally, I screamed at the top of my lungs. Like, if you watch the movies, Jango Fett, Jango Fett's long been dead, but Boba Fett was assumed to be dead. Like, we haven't seen him. So when he pops up, it was like this huge reveal. And that was something that was so great about The Mandalorian. It was because he kept having huge reveals throughout the series, so many callbacks. And then, let alone besides all of that, we had this centerpiece of Baby Yoda. And as we have watched Baby Yoda become Grogu, because like we didn't always know his name, he was the child. You know, as we watched him grow and develop and see what he could do, because we know Yoda, so we know what this baby is capable of. We know the history, you know, like we know Yoda's history, so we know what, you know, species of, you know, even though we don't know, like we can't call out the species of Yoda other than saying he's a Yoda. He's Yoda. But, you know, we know that history of the Force being strong in this species or whatever. So, you know, it's like all this like, I was going to say titillation, but that, I don't use that word. Like, when did I start using titillation? But anyways, you know, all this, like, excitement, like anything, you know, the first time we see, you know, Grogu be able to lift something with the Force. The first time, every time we hear him coo, like when he wanted the round ball on the gear of Mando's ship. And, you know, immediately I'm thinking connections with the Death Star. Like, ooh, is Grogu going to grow up to go to the dark side? What, you know, what is this? What, you know, him eating the frogs, him eating those little macaroons that he had. Like, everything, we lived and breathed and died on those moments, and they were so amazing. Like, I had told somebody, like, when I was watching The Mandalorian, and I'm getting to Jango Fett. I'm getting, stay with me. Come on, bestie. Like, we better than that. So I told someone when I was watching The Mandalorian, like, what was so hard about watching it, because, like, the first season, I let the whole season come out and I binged it. Well, I won't say I let the whole season come out. I watched all the Star Wars movies, then watched The Mandalorian. Like, I didn't have a Star Wars history before that, so I did my research before I watched The Mandalorian, I will say. And my research, quote unquote, was the movie. So anyways, so season two was the first season where I had to literally like wait for episodes to drop week by week. And they used to Mando, their premieres were on Fridays. And I told someone, I was like, and actually I'll just say I told my boss, and it was awkward, because I was like, you know, they give you these episodes and they leave on these big cliffhangers, and I'm just left there, you know, empty and alone on a Friday, and, you know, I'm just like breathe, you know, holding my breath till the next episode drops. And he was like, what? So, but I said all that to say, you know, every moment was so epic, and you didn't know who was going to show up, or you're waiting for people to show up. We waited for Ahsoka to appear. We waited on, you know, every movement of Grogu. We waited on these big character reveals and all these connections being made, and the huge payout when we see young Luke at the end of season two come for Grogu. Like, it was also exciting. Like, every episode left you like clinging for more, begging for more. Boba Fett, on the other hand, has not paid out on the first four episodes. But I will say, in discussing with a friend, best friend Lindley, I was telling her, I'm like, I felt like Boba Fett, those first four episodes, it was like a bad marriage. It was like, you know, the thrill is gone, but you're waiting to stick it out in the long run. Like, I've made a commitment. I'm here to stay. I love you through the hard times. Like, that's what it felt like. Because I knew it was going somewhere big. I knew it was going to give me what I needed. And episodes 5 and 6 have delivered. But the craziest part is, they delivered by giving us The Mandalorian and Grogu. Like, that's all we wanted. And so I told Lindley, I'm like, I wish this was the third season of The Mandalorian. Like, give the people what they want. Because Boba Fett, I will say, I thought, but you know, when he's revealed at the end of Mandalorian, and then, you know, those last couple of episodes where we got teasers, or last episode or two about what Boba was giving. He was taking over from Jabba the Hutt. He was going to be the next baddie. Like, I thought his show, he was going to be a villain. But they got him trying to be, like, as noble as Mando. He's letting people double-cross him, and he's letting them live. They coming back and, you know, have a second chance to go at him because he doesn't, he's not, like, putting a stop to things. Like, he is not laying the law down like I was expecting him to do. So it's like, I thought his show was gonna be exciting because we are gonna see someone, a baddie in charge. You know, we're gonna see a baddie have the lead role. You know, because Mando, yes, he's a Mandalorian. Yes, he's a man of few words and he's tough and da-da-da. But he's very self-righteous. He lives strictly by a code. There's things he won't do because it you know, will contradict with his faith, because Mandalorian is a religion. It's not just, it's a group of people. It's a, you know, Mandalore is where they're originally from, but it's also a faith and a mindset. And so, and what's interesting is, and here's how I explain it to somebody. If you haven't watched any of this, know that yes, it's a religion, but just like many religions, just like Christianity, there's different denominations. They might all go by the same name, Mandalorian, which they do, but they have several different distinctions. So even call him the Mandalorian, it makes it sound like he's the only Mandalorian, and he's not. It's like calling somebody the Catholic or the, you know, like, I'm an apostolic, so the apostolic. There's a bazillion. He's just the Mandalorian that is in these places where he goes. He goes to places where he's the only Mandalorian there, so they can call him Mando and not 50 heads turn around because he's the only Mandalorian in the town. So if that puts anything into perspective, if you don't watch it. But anyways, so Boba Fett was given that same kind of energy of, oh no, like I can't cross these boundaries, but yet there were no big, huge reveals or throwbacks to the movies or huge ones. There are some, but not big ones where you're excited about. You know, like even there's a Wookiee present, but it's not Chewbacca. Like, okay, it's a Wookiee. You know, like I said, I'm cracking myself up because I'm such a nerd. But anyways, you know, like, Jabba the Hutt is dead. So, you know, there's not a callback to him, but his, you know, his relatives show up, like two twins, you know, and they don't give much. You know, like, they have a scene and it's like, oh, is something about to happen, but not much happens. And like I said, he's let several villains go. A huge addition to the cast who I was super excited about, who I found out was going to be a part of Boba Fett, was Jennifer Beals. Like, I love her so much. I love her on the L Word, especially L Word, Generation Q. I love that series. So I was like so excited. I screamed just when I saw that she was going to be a part of the cast, but so far she hasn't had a huge role or been super meaningful. Like, she has this, like, bar, you know, like Star Wars, every movie and series, they all have this watering hole they go to. Well, she owns the one in Boba Fett series. And so, like, I think she's going to have a bigger role. Like, but I was, you know, I was excited to see her, but she wasn't a big reveal. She didn't let us in, you know, her character hasn't clued us into anything big happening in the series. But I just love her, and she's gorgeous, and she's flawless. Even with her alien appendages, she's still gorgeous. But, you know, so I'm still interested. Like I said, I'm here for the long haul. But episodes 5 and 6 have been everything, and that is due in great part to the Mandalorian, and of course, like I said before, Grogu, with also, you know, bringing back young Luke, bringing back Ahsoka. It's been so amazing. Like, first of all, chapter 5 was so good because Mando gave the action. Like, there were fight scenes, there was so much like, and it brought back that Mandalorian vibe of the show, which makes total sense because this episode was directed by Bryce Howard, who was one of the main directors for The Mandalorian. So it makes sense that she brought in this vibe where, like, there's so much expectation, like, the whole time Mando is doing what he's doing, but you know that he wants to get to Grogu. He's wielding the Darksaber. He's defending the Darksaber when he is challenged. You know, like, there's fight scenes, there's this and that, but there's always this looming presence of, will Mando get back to Grogu? And so that anticipation, that excitement that was a part of every episode of The Mandalorian was there present on Boba Fett chapter 5, episode 5. So episode 6 was the huge, ginormous payout. First of all, let me back up. At the end of chapter 5, it was all about this very small moment, but was huge. Like, I screamed, you know, the Mandalorian in charge, the female Mandalorian, she's talking to Din Djarin and she's telling him about his next mission and what he's got to do and all that, da, 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 da. And, you know, he's like, but first I got to see a little friend. When I'm telling, if you did not lose it, like, this ain't for you. Oh my God. Like, that killed me. I was in. So, you know, like, I had to wait a week on pins and needles waiting for chapter 6. And chapter 6 was everything. Like, I put this on my Instagram. Like, when I watched the Harry Potter reunion. First of all, when I watched the trailer for the Harry Potter reunion, I wept. But when I watched the reunion itself, when it finally aired on January 1st, I watched it and I just silently, you know, like that soft weeping, like, just where it's just like silent tears streaming down your face. Like, you don't even know you're crying until your face is soaking wet. Like, that's what I talked about on my Instagram page. But that's what chapter 6 was giving. I mean, it was, we see Grogu. He is being trained by young Luke. And I'm still mad that they're using the computer technology instead of hiring Sebastian Stan. Like, he literally is, he's literally Mark Hamill's clone. Like, give him work, like, whatever, but still, we love Mark Hamill, so use your technology, whatever, but I would have loved to see Sebastian Stan in this role. Anyway, side note, but we see him being trained by Luke, and we see Ahsoka, it was heartbreaking, and it was a lot of things. So Mando in episode 5, the Mandalorian has the female Mandalorian make Grogu a gift. She makes it and she literally wraps it, and the wrapping cloth literally makes a silhouette of Grogu's head. Huh, hard eyes. Literal tears. So he has this gift. He travels all this way. He goes to where where Luke, let's stay in character, where Luke is training Grogu. And we see in the background the foundation started for Luke's school, which if you watch the films, this will be where he trains young Kylo Ren, young Ben Solo, who later becomes villain Kylo Ren when he turns. So this is the budding of this school that we know the legacy and the history of what's to come. So, I mean, it was just like so much energy, but like, so anyway, so he makes it all this way. He has this gift in hand, and Ahsoka literally, like, she doesn't just stop Mando. She does, you know, she's very zen. The Force is strong with her. We know Sis is powerful, but calm and peaceful. You know, she's grown from the child that Anakin trained. You know, like, we know her story. We know her vibe. She's given strong, you know, good vibes. So she's just like, hey, you know, he's in training. He's strong with the Force. His attachment to you could be to his detriment. And so Mando, first of all, he's like, well, you acting like he's all of that. Like, why wouldn't you train him? You said you wouldn't train him. And, you know, because he doesn't know what we know. She saw, you know, what that attachment can do. She saw the best of them, the best of them turn, the chosen one turn in Anakin. So, you know, she's like, no, not, you know, I knew it wasn't my duty to train him. Like, I didn't have, you know, I basically saying I don't have the bandwidth to go through that. But she also says it's not her choice that Grogu chose Luke. And, you know, like how, remember in, well, if you watch, it's... I'm telling you all this like you watch, and I don't even know if you do, Bessie, like, let me know. But anyways, so you see him, she puts him on that throne, and, you know, she's like, the Force will call out, you know, the connection will be made, all of that happened, and they bonded, they've connected. So she's basically saying Grogu chose, and, you know, chose Luke. But she tells him, you know, like, it's your choice, but I'm telling you that attachment will be dangerous. Let me give Grogu the gift. And so even through Mando's helmet, you can see this heartbreak look. Like, he can literally see Grogu in the distance, but he's far enough away where Grogu shouldn't have probably been able to see his face. But we all know with the Force, like, when people are nearby, when they're even on the same planet as each other, they know. And with Grogu's strong connection to Mando, I'm sure even if he didn't verbalize it or let on that he knows, because he's still not speaking to us, like, on the camera, like, you don't see him speaking to Luke or anything like that, but he's definitely, he understands. You know, he understands words, he communicates in his way, but he's not full out speaking yet to us. But anyways, you know, Mando's looking, and you can see the heartbreak even through his helmet. Like, he's looking like, I'm this close. I made it all this way. I fought, had to give up my weapons, get them back, fight for my right to have the saber, like, all this stuff. And I'm this close and I can't go to him. But he allows Ahsoka to take the gift. And so I was, like, really worried. I was like, will they tell him it's from Mando? Like, where will he think this came from? Like I said, but I know with the Force, he will know anyway. Like, they always know the truth. So Ahsoka gives it to Luke. Luke presents it to Grogu, but with a stipulation. He explains to Grogu who it's from, that is from the Mandalorian. And you can hear him cooing and, like, ooh, you know, you hear the excitement. And it's so beautiful. Like, it, okay, I said I would go tell you to watch. But if you're not watching, you need to be watching. You're missing out. But I will say, if you have not seen the films, the main films, you don't even have to see the throw-offs. You don't have to see Rogue One or the Solo movie. You don't have to see those. The main films, watch them. Watch them maybe a couple of times. Star Wars Day is coming up in May. Maybe then. Take the time. Watch the films. By that time, Boba Fett, all the episodes will be out. You'll be able to binge watch Boba Fett, which will probably be the best way to watch this, because, like I said, first few episodes, kind of dry. But anyway, so he tells him, this is from the Mandalorian. He wanted you to have this. You can take this, or, you know, you've been doing your Padawan training. You're ready for your lightsaber. You can either have this this gift from the Mandalorian, and if you take this gift, you have to go with the Mandalorian. You can go and not choose this life, or you can stay and accept your lightsaber and continue your training. And the episode literally cuts at that moment. It's so freaking exciting. Like, oh my gosh, like the possibilities are endless. And like I said, again, with Bestie Lindley, we, I instead of bothering her with my theories, which I've bothered her with a whole bunch of them, I'm going to spill them all out now. And I want somebody, if there's anybody out there, if anybody hears the sound of my voice, please let me know your theory or what you think is going to happen next. So here's the thing. So he can take the armor, because it's literally like chain link armor kind of thing that would go under his robes, that the Mando gives him. He can take that, go with Mando. And what if he trains to be a Mandalorian? And I mean, that's still like a noble creed. He could still be a hero. He could still save and protect and do all these things. And he, it was not like his force would shut off. I don't believe he would like lose his force call. So he would have all of that. But that also leaves more room for the dark side, because that power and that energy is going to be sought after, and someone's going to want to manipulate it for their will. Or he could continue his training, but now start with the lightsaber and become the great one and become this amazing Jedi. Or he could continue his Jedi training and still go to the dark side, because part of him is still clinging to that attachment with Mando, just like what happened with Anakin. And like, you know, so I was telling Lindley, I'm like, part of me feels like I'm watching Anakin all over again, but a part of me is saying they wouldn't just do that all over again and let this sweet young boy that we've fallen in love with, you know, and build him up to be the chosen one, just to have him turn to the dark side and be the worst baddie of all. Like, they wouldn't do that all over again. Like, there has to be some twists and turns. So I'm just like so excited. So then with that possibility, I'm like, okay, if he stays with Luke and continues in his training, does his time ever overlap with Ben Solo? Is he there at the same time? Is he one of the ones that Ben kills as he turns and shifts to Kylo Ren? Or is he part of the First Order and he went with Kylo Ren? Or is he a Mandalorian? Is he gonna have like this, oh my gosh, I was saying it would be so cute for him to have a custom Mando helmet with his ears. Oh my god. So it's just endless. Because first of all, so Mando is part of the sect of Mandalorians that believe if you take off your helmet, you are no longer a Mandalorian. You are supposed to die instead of taking it off. So when Mando is hurt and the helmet is taken off of him again, you know, without his consent to heal him, he wakes up mad that his helmet is off. But then later on in the series, he does have to, he removes his helmet in order to go through with this mission that needs to be fulfilled, that he wants to do. So he willingly takes it off at the point. So it's been off a couple of times. So when he is confronted about has his helmet came off, and he has to admit that it has, the woman who believes like he does, she tells him he's no longer Mandalorian, that he has to fight to regain his status and be accepted among the Mandalorian again. However, if you watch season 2, you know that he met for the first time in his life, he had no idea of these other sect of Mandalorians that willingly take their helmet on and off, and they don't believe like that. And so that was his first time being confronted with different sects of the faith. So I said all that to say, like, even though men, you know, so you're not supposed to have it off from, I think from adolescence, as soon as you reach a certain age, your helmet never comes off. So I was saying, like, Grogu, even though he's over 50 because he's a Yoda, whatever species Yoda is, where they age really slowly and they live a really long time. He hasn't really reached adolescence, even though he's over 50, which sounds hilarious. So yeah, so that is Boba Fett. And you hear, I've only talked about the Mandalorian and Grogu, so that, if that lets you know anything about the series. But it is really good. And I would say even the episodes that the Mandalorian and Grogu are not present, like I said, you just have to be in for the long haul. It's like a slow burn. It's leading somewhere. You have, like, when you know that the Star Wars movies, they begin, George Lucas began them as Westerns. They're like intergalactic, futuristic Western movies. So it has that slow and steady. It has that silent type. Because, you know, like the first episode, the first couple of episodes of Boba Fett, I was like, I bet that script was like 2 pages of dialogue. There's like no dialogue. And he spends a lot of time with the Sand People. The Sand People have an indecipherable language. Like, they don't speak English. So it's subtext and stuff like that. And I don't want to scare you off. Please watch The Mandalorian. I mean, oops. Freudian slip. Please watch Boba Fett and The Mandalorian. Like, you have to watch both of them. And you should watch The Mandalorian first if you haven't watched it. But yeah, like, it gives me joy, as you can see. And that's just one show. And I've been talking all this time. But yeah, that's it. Okay, now I need to talk to you about Station 11. I literally just finished the series tonight. And it's an HBO Max show. It's super different. It's apocalyptic, futuristic, unique show. Definitely gives you vibes of our current lives and our current situation in a pandemic. But this show is so, it makes you want to binge it. The episodes are long, they're over an hour, but you keep clamoring till you can finish it. I will say that. Like, it didn't take me very long, because every evening, you know, instead of watching anything else, I wanted to get through and see how it all plays out, Station 11. And I love that the show shows you so many different perspectives. It takes you forward, it takes you backward. But I will tell you that the show begins with a play happening, and an actor dies on stage live during the play, and it's the first signs of a pandemic sweeping the world. I was gonna say the nation, the world, but this play is in Chicago. He's a big movie star, signed up to do this play. He falls dead on stage, and everything like breaks loose after that. All hell breaks loose. People in the hospitals are flooding the hospitals, and, you know, no one knows what's going on. And with this disease, it doesn't kill you slowly. It kills you very quickly. You cough a hot minute and you're gone. It happens really fast. And so the movie moves really fast. So the film, well, it's not a film, it is a series. It feels like a big, long movie. And even the actor, one of the main actors, his character's name is Jeevan. First of all, Jeevan was everything. But anyways, Jeevan, he said that his approach to even filming this was like a movie. It gives very much movie feels. It's just a very long, you know, a long movie. But, you know, you get certain people's perspectives, certain episodes, you're just seeing through one character's eyes. But the film starts with this death, but there's a little girl in the play, and in all this commotion, when people are scattering, this man died on stage, and he was actually like a mentor to her. So the actor who dies is her mentor, and the child handler who handles all the kids that were a part of the play was his girlfriend. So she's scrambling. She goes off in the ambulance. This little girl is left stranded. And this good Samaritan, who is the first to notice that the actor is dying on stage, he literally runs from the audience trying to help. He gets up there and he's just like, wait, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not a doctor. So finally a doctor comes and like pushes him out of the way. But it's like, he's just, it shows you his nature off top. And this is Jeevan, the one I'm talking about. Jeevan is going to go to the person in need every single time, you know, without fail. And that's what he does. He steps up and he's on stage. So when all this commotion happens and now he's standing on a stage that he has no, serves no purpose in, but he meets eyes with this little girl who is now lost in a world of confusion. And that's where the story takes off. And I don't want to give away any spoilers, like I did with Boba Fett, because it's so good and the reveals are so good. But I will tell you, if you watch, chapter 9 is my favorite, episode 9, and it's called Dr. Chavandri. It's Jeevan's last name. This episode, oh my God. Oh my God. That, the last, I say the last 3 minutes took me out. And I know, like, I cry a lot. You know I cry a lot, bestie. But when I'm telling you that I screamed and wept from a hearty place, oh, it was by far the best episode. It was such a big payout, a big reveal that just, it was such a release on my heart. It was such a, and I hate that, like, because first of all, when I'm ready to talk about a show, I just talk about it. And I'm probably one of the last people to watch Station 11. Like, I heard it was a big deal that people liked it, but, like, it was never on my timeline. It was never on my feed. I don't know anybody who's watched it. So that's why I'm, like, so leery to give spoilers. Like, you know, because, bestie, I hate spoilers. I hate getting spoilers. So like with Boba Fett, I know people who are watching it episode by episode, they're keeping up with it. So I don't feel like I'm revealing anything, but I don't know anybody who's watched Station 11, even though it was really popular. So I'm like, I don't want to give away big reveals because this show, it has so many twists and turns. And don't you love, and I know it's like a big thing, that kind of started with Love Actually, which first of all, I just saw that movie this Christmas and I hated it. But anyways, but that movie created an era of movies where all the characters were intertwined some kind of way. And you don't know while you're seeing them live their lives. You don't know how they're connected sometimes all the way till the end. And they have these unique callbacks and you know, bring the characters together in really unique ways. This series does that. Station 11 is so unique and so different and really cool, and it's worth checking out. So I don't even want to give you too much, but I will just tell you, HBO Max, you hear my sinuses, HBO Max, and it's called Station 11, and just know Jeevan is everything. I love Jeevan. That's all I can say. Oh, sorry for the screen. Now, when you're talking about feel good, laughter, a good time, a new series on Apple TV, The After Party. This show is so funny. It gives me everything. The fact that someone brought these funny people together, like so many of my peeps, they're doing the Lord's work. That's all I can say. God bless whoever was in charge of casting. Because first of all, we've got Tiffany Haddish, Jay Franco, Sam Richardson, Ben Schwartz, who, if you don't know, this is John Ralphio from Parks and Rec. He is so hilarious, and he's so much John Ralphio in this series. We have Alana Glazer. We got Ike, who I can never say his name, Barinholtz. He was from the Mindy Project. He's hilarious. John Early from Search Party, the TV show. It's so funny. And first of all, episode 3 is everything. And it is Ben Schwartz's episode. And he plays Jasper. So each episode is named after one of these main characters as they tell their version of this story of the after party. So Jasper's episode is the best, and it is a musical. He has several musical numbers, but my favorite is You Only Get One Chance Twice. That is my jam. And yes, I watched the episode twice because You Only Get One Chance Twice. That's all I'm gonna say. So this show premiered January 28th, and it premiered 3 episodes at once. From now on, it'll be a weekly episode on Friday. So this is Friday night. So the 4th episode just aired, and I watched that one. It doesn't beat episode 3. Jasper is everything. But this show was such a funny release. I definitely needed it after watching Station 11 and weeping real heartfelt tears. I needed a laugh. So I want to call it Search Party. The after party is super funny. And you might be turned off. Like, I know some people are not a huge, huge Tiffany Haddish fan, like when she's like really, really over top, but she's not her normal, like super, super silly self. Like, she is the detective researching this case. So basically each episode, well, the first episode, you see the party and the after party. It's a class reunion, a 15-year anniversary of a high school class. One of their classmates is uber successful, super rich, and that is played by Dave Franco. And he throws an after party after the high school reunion at his house, and that's where he is killed. And that is not a spoiler. It's literally in the trailer for the show. You know, off top, he dies that night. So the whole rest of the after party is literally an interrogation by the police going through each party guest and getting their version of the story, because no one saw how he died. Everyone just found his body, you know, afterwards. So it sounds like it would be grim, but it is so funny. It is so funny. It is definitely a great escape show and a great release, a great Friday show to laugh if you're not, you know, doing anything and just want to veg out. It's super funny. It's time for a word. Last year, while I wasn't podcasting, the Dollar Tree national chain convenience store got approval to increase some store items' price from $1 to $1.25. And that stuck with me, bestie. Like, not just because I love the Dollar Tree, it's 100% my jam. And in fact, my toxic trait is literally following Dollar Tree branches in bigger cities and lusting over store items that our local store never gets. Like, I do this a lot. I follow all the threads on Instagram of Dollar Trees and Dollar Tree hacks and of people making craft items, like all of that. It's definitely a toxic trait because I'm not going to make any of the stuff, and my Dollar Tree carries none of these special items that others do. But anyways, it stuck with me because I'm like, there's a lesson here. I'm like, are people tapped into this? Do they see how this applies to our lives? Catch hold, bestie. Stay with me a minute. Sometimes you and I are afraid of demanding more from people that we've allowed to get away with giving us less in the past. We're afraid of setting new boundaries in old relationships. We say things like, I can't ask that. I can't say that. They'll never go for that because we know what we've been, what we've accepted from them in the past, and that even when we learn better and know we deserve more, we don't speak up. Well, I'm here to tell you, bestie, if the Dollar Tree can raise their price when their worth is literally tied to their name and their very identity that they have presented to the world, sis, you can raise your price too. I don't care how many times in the past you've accepted less and let that person walk all over you like your first name was Dora and your last name was Matt. You know better now. So turn to your neighbor and say the price just went up, okay? The price just went up. You've learned more about yourself. You've taken the journey of self-discovery. You've done the work to realize your worth. You've perfected your craft. You've redefined your name. You've created your brand. You've gotten your certification. You've gotten the degree. You might have been giving away freebies before, but you're out of the bargain basement now. Tell them the price just went up. Whew. And on that note, actually turn to your non-existent neighbor and repeat it after me, and you're still willing to come back for episode number 3, where I might actually start talking about current events, then you are officially my new best friend. Here's to a happy and healthy 2022. Call me every 5 minutes, bestie. Bye!